Barbara, this is an extremely important teaching, and I want to pray right here at the very beginning.
All right, I agree.
Father God, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you that the words spoken by the Father through Jesus are living words, and they cause changes in our lives when we open up our hearts. And today we do open up our hearts, and we declare on behalf of our listeners and our friends that they are also opening up their hearts to learn. We thank you, Father God, that we can learn, we can change, but we have to allow you to change us. In the powerful name of Jesus, we cover this teaching about Jezebel with the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I pray, Darren, also that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened and we would have discernment, really true discernment, because I believe this spirit is so overwhelming in some places, and especially in the church. This is the third time we've tried this teaching, and I mean, this is an important teaching because the enemy has done everything to keep us from teaching this. So I know it is vitally important for the body of Jesus Christ, and it involves the deadly results of compromising. And Jezebel spirits love compromising situations. They just absolutely flourish in those kind of surroundings. When there is double-mindedness in a congregation or double-mindedness in a family, they love to feed on that. And so that's why we've called this the deceptive mask of Jezebel, because there's such deception in this spirit.
Well, you know, this spirit gets the leadership on the run.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
it's
right.
Really, I don't often use a psychological term, but this thing is passive-aggressive. It appears passive, but it's extremely aggressive.
That's right.
I mean,
sure
this
is.
Thing wears a dozen masks, and it comes out to really nail you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say to you, which I almost never say, listen up, pay attention. God has something for you in this message.
That's right. We're going to start at the very beginning where Jezebel is first mentioned in the Bible. And so that takes us to 1 Kings 16. And in the 31st verse, it says, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel, and he reigned over Israel in Samaria for 22 years. Now, he was a son of a man who was not godly, and he reigned in Samaria. Samaria was the capital of the tribe of Israel and all the other tribes except Benjamin and Judah. And we see here that Ahab was the king in Samaria, and he was the king of Israel. Now, after Solomon reigned, Rehoboam, his son, took over, and he put such a burden on the people, Darren, that they revolted, and everyone revolted. And the two tribes of Benjamin and Judah went with a man called Jeroboam. Now, Jeroboam was evil too. He made two calves, one in Dan and one in Bethel, because he was afraid if the people went to Jerusalem to worship, that they would all become owe their allegiance or give their allegiance to the king then. So Jeroboam made two calves, two idols, and he did almost as wickedly as Rehoboam. But we see here in the 31st verse of 1 Kings 16 that Ahab, who was the great-grandson here of godly kings, he did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came about as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, and we had just talked about Jeroboam, that he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went to serve Baal and worshipped him. So as if it were not enough of a slap in the face that he was an evil king, he went and married a woman who was of a heathen nation whose father's name was Ethbaal. That means he was a great worshiper of Baal. He wanted Baal to be even in his name. This was a tremendous compromise.
You know, that's still done today. Many times people in demonic nations, I will say those that are ruled over primarily by a demonic religion, many times their names have taken on the names of the demonic gods.
That's right. That's right.
We hear a lot of young men named Muhammad today.
Yeah.
As example, that's a modern-day expression of what was going on in that day in Israel.
That's right. So, did you want to start in 1 Kings
18? Well, yes, I'd love to start in 1 Kings 18. Obadiah here was a great man, and he really was working, you might say, in a governmental position, but he met Elijah and said that he was hiding out 100 prophets, and Elijah, you know, really thought that he was serving alone. But in this idolatrous nation, it was a real struggle between God's people and the people of that government structure that day. which was also, I have to tell you, there was a demonic stranglehold on that king and on his wife, and we're talking here about Ahab, and we're talking about his wife Jezebel. They were motivated not basically by a political appointment or a political position or a royal position, being a king. They were motivated by the devil.
That's right. We have
it here in 1 Kings chapter 18, and I'll begin in verse 18. And this really tells about how it's going to come down and what's going on. But here in 1 Kings 18, it says, when they met, and Elijah had told Obadiah to tell Ahab that he wanted to meet him.
Well, I think it's so remarkable that in this terrible time in Israel and in Judah, Darren, God always raises up a godly man, always. And at this time, with the great deception and idolatry in the nation of Israel, here God raises up this wonderful prophet named Elijah. And he was such a godly man. He didn't die. He was translated up to heaven. And it was during this time that, you're right, Elijah thought he was doing this thing alone. But there had been prophets who had been very loyal to God. And Obadiah was one of the godly stewards of the temple then. And he hid 100 of them.
He hid 100 of them and
fed
them.
That's right. That's right.
And had that been found out, it would have cost him his head.
That's right.
Without any question. So he was a godly temple steward of the temple. And these 100 prophets were provided for by Obadiah. But upon receiving the word from Obadiah that Elijah wanted to meet with him, and Obadiah there had been the go-between, and he was sticking his neck out even to carry that information to Ahab. And then when Ahab met Elijah, here's what he says in 1 Kings chapter 18, and it's verse 18, and I'll just read it to you. It says, is this you? And Ahab was speaking now to God's man Elijah. Is this you, you troubler of Israel? In other words, you're the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You are the problem. You're the one that's causing all this problem here in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke back and he said, I've not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. You have followed the Baals. Now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the Asherah, who ate at Jezebel's table. Now what he was saying is, I want to have a confrontation here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a showdown.
We're going to have a sacrifice here.
We
see whose God is the
biggest.
We're
going to have a contest here. We're going to have a conflict here. And really, we're talking about the inner circle that really kept Jezebel pumped up. These were the backslappers, you might say, in her country club, her inner circle, the people she played cards with, however you want to say that. But they at least emotionally and politically supported her, and she supported them. She provided for them, and they supported her. And you know, if you had 850 people every day saying, you're a wonderful person, they probably bowed when she came in the room, did all this kind of stuff, it would give her some gratification.
That's right. And here was the temple that Solomon had built to the glory of God, the God of Israel. And here we see 850 priests, false prophets, who come and worship on a daily basis their god Baal and their god Asherah. I can't imagine the heart of Father God and how he grieved over this, because here was something that was meant for him, and it was defiled continually by sacrifices to these gods.
Well, let's go back. How did God really look at Israel? What was his relationship with Israel?
Oh, intimate. Israel, in fact, it says in Ezekiel and Isaiah, he married Israel.
He married Israel.
That's right.
Right.
So later on, he betrothed himself to Israel as a husband does to a bride.
So it was really spiritual infidelity here. Spiritual.
Absolutely. Adultery.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And so here we have this contest coming here, but there's been a great conflict between good and evil going on. And the God's man, Elijah, he knew where the real authority was. But he was going to put it all on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. And you know, when you deal with the Jezebel spirit, you cannot tolerate that thing. You have to go after it.
That's right.
And God is angry, and we'll be giving you scripture about that. You know, why have you tolerated this Jezebel? You can't tolerate it and be pleasing to the Lord.
That's right. Oh, when I get to heaven, Darren, I want to see the video of this this wonderful confrontation of the 850 priests and of Elijah going up. Elijah had to rebuild the altar. They had torn it down, the altar that had sacrifices to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He had to build it, and they cut up two oxen. One was put on the altar of the false prophets, and one was put on his altar, and then they danced around and cut up themselves and yelled and screamed to their God all day long till sunset. And Elijah at times says,